celebrating the birthday of Nikola Tesla. Now listen, this is about the disconnect, unplugging from the machine, the nation, the world is dark right now. Just come and hang out with me. We'll forget about everything together. I'm going to open up the phone lines for the rest of the night. All right, if you're on hold, you stay right there. I'm going to get to all of you. Researchers right now have found that many astronauts who do a six-month mission in space come back with a condition that causes blurred vision. On Earth, we know that gravity pulls body fluids down towards your feet. Well, that doesn't happen in space, and it is thought that the extra fluid in the skull increases pressure on the brain and in the back of the eye. Check out the story right now over at coasttocoastam.com. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Opening up the phone lines, Nikola Tesla, old school. I'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I just got this tweet in from Mike S., and he says, Jimmy, do you think that the government could disclose UFOs info by now? And do you think the public could handle it? Or do you think that we would riot? And the reason why I'm even reading this right now, this is probably the one question that I get asked more than once a day. Everybody wants to know the answer to these questions. And I'm just going to say this directly. Could we handle it? Yes. I mean, the one thing that we do every day is go to the movies to see movies about E.T., right? We get that. I don't think that we would be shocked or surprised at all. That's the first thing. The second, do you think we would riot? Absolutely not. We're acclimated to the idea. We know that there's intelligent life out there, and I don't think anybody here would be surprised. The third part to this question is about the government disclosing. The problem with all of that is if there are riots, it's because the government would have to admit to lying to us for all of these years. And that's what we would be upset about. We would not be upset about E.T. or disclosure or the knowledge of intelligent life out there or that they have been visiting us or that they are visiting us today. I think we just assume that. I don't think there's any issues there. What would we be really upset about is if there wasn't alien life out there, because that would bum us out, right? There wouldn't be a reason to get up in the morning if we are just alone in the universe. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to first-time caller line. Let's go to WC in Santa Cruz. Welcome to Coast, WC. You're up. WC, 3, 2, 1. Let's go to wild card. Let's go to Ryan out in Indianapolis, Naptown. You're up on Coast.
How you doing?
Doing good, Ryan.
From my learning of my life, I think that we are part of a higher dimensional being species or whatever. And I think through string theory and other sciences like that, I think we're basically stuck in our area while we learn. I think we're infants in the cosmos. Bringing that up.
Ryan, I want to get back to this in a second, but I'm from Indianapolis. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So prove to me you're from Indy. What high school did you go to?
I went to two. I went to Mooresville and I went to Center Grove High School.
Okay, good enough. I graduated from Warren Central. Are you impressed?
I am.
Okay, there you go. Okay, continue, Ryan.
Anyways, that being said, there's a couple things about Tesla that I wanted to share that from documentaries and things I've read. He said he had a lot of dreams that he would see these things that he created. And I think that was maybe these higher dimensional beings that gave him this access to these things. And I remember hearing that it was so, he had such, these dreams caused, were so passionate in him that it almost made him sick. And that being said, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but they said that pyramids in Egypt were built as some sort of electrical device that could power Egypt back in the day. And the reason I bring that up is I think Tesla, a lot of the things that he was doing were building a device or an antenna like that that would give a lot of free electrical power to the world.
That's right.
And when I bring up these higher dimensional beings, I think the reason Tesla never really cared about money was he saw a bigger picture of what we were intended to be, and money was not one of the things that was important to him. He wanted to, you know, bring the religious and the science part of it and give that gift to the world. So that's my thoughts on the matter. I just wanted to know what you thought about that. I don't think he cared about money, and I don't think it is an important aspect of anything that he did. I think we're so burdened and stuck with the thought of money that it's hindering us, our species, in a lot of ways. And
well, I agree with you and on almost everything that you just said. And I am very intrigued when it comes to the visions that he got through his dreams and how he was able to, A, remember those dreams. I don't know if you remember your dreams. A lot of people don't. And then to turn around and get that documented into future research and actually turn it into something. Where is this information coming from? Could it be an interdimensional being? I don't want to diminish his genius or anybody's genius and say that, you know, they got the information from somebody else and it wasn't his. I don't want to necessarily go there, but it was so far into the future and it was so spot on so many different fronts. It wasn't just one simple thing. It went from electricity all the way to particle beam weapons, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's okay if he maybe got it from his dreams, from somebody that came to him and spoke to him. It's okay. I'm just glad that he was able to apply it.
If you look throughout the world and all the great people that they're very few and far to come by, but I think that's the point, is that I think a lot of these, like Einstein, for instance, or any of the first people, when they look past the religious side of it and, you know, I don't remember his name, but the one man that looked past and knew that, you know, the planets and things were orbiting the sun and he could see past, and, you know, it was all, you know, I think they killed him in the end because they, you know, it was blasphemy. But these great people that are very few and hard to come by have these, I would say they got them from their dreams or just, they're just looking at nature and seeing how they do that. And I think more of us need to see, when I dream, there's a lot of times I dream and I don't even realize that I'm dreaming, and I wake up and I've actually felt like I've been somewhere else and like time has stopped. And I almost wonder if we're, you know, a beam of light that is, these bodies of ours are just something to hold us in.
Yeah, Ryan, you're exactly right, my friend. And thank you for actually sharing that with us. And I think that more and more the generation, my generation, the generation, you know, under me and that I think we're understanding that there is more to the world than just the black and white side of things that we are taught, that there's something else going on out there.
Even string theory, they say that when you get into the higher dimensions of string theory, that they say it's like a loaf of bread. And I almost wonder if these higher beings were learning to become these higher beings in a higher dimensional reality. And I think we're stuck here because we're not ready to contain that power. And very few people that I think these higher dimensional beings know won't use this to destroy or to, you know, profit from the things that are shown to these people. And they're giving us a great gift, and it's such a shame to see some of the world and all this turmoil and just this greed, and that the banks keep, you know, over and over doing these, you know, just unnecessary things for money, and it's just keeping us isolated in our thoughts and our just our whole way of living, when we could be so much greater than what we're becoming.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan, thank you for the phone call, and do not stop your quest for knowledge. I really appreciate that phone call. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Let's go to Denver in Jackson, Mississippi. Denver, welcome to Coast.
Well, good evening, gentlemen, and I appreciate what you're doing. You are celebrating one of my great role models' birthday. I had the honor to talk to a gentleman that has been in contact with extraterrestrial for all his life, and they told him that they was in contact with Tesla when he was very young.
Is that right?
His knowledge is coming from extraterrestrial from a long time. He's not the only one, but there's thousands of people around the world that they are in contact with. They are using certain people, not by coincidence, but by selection, to get us to a level that we need to be spiritually and technically. And Tesla was just one that they're using at the time, and they're still using people right now. Riley Martin was the one that brought that to my attention, but he passed away in December. But we communicated several times because I emailed him, then we talked on the phone several times. What I'm saying is Tesla was one of my role models because he had such contribution he gave to the world. If they had allowed people like him to live, the powers to be, the world would be different today.
Yeah, you're right about that, Denver. And before I let you go, I want to hear you say, happy birthday, Mr. Tesla.
A happy birthday, Mr. Tesla. My friend, I put you in line with Dr. King and Gerardo Bruno, all the great people.
You got it, Denver. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great night. Let's go to, you know what? I want to speak with Giovanni right here in Beverly Hills. Welcome to Coast, Giovanni.
Well, you are the most fluid, and I really appreciate the positive flow of energy and really your delivery. I mean, it's really amazing. I've been listening to you for the first time, although I've listened to the Nouri show a lot. You're just you're so concise and explicit. It's a treasure to hear you speaking. I got to give you that compliment.
Well, Giovanni, and thank you for the compliment, but to be honest with you, I'm just like you. I just want to learn. You know, I want to get my learn on.
I got some heavy-duty stuff. I started to call in about one thing, and then since then, on hold, everybody brought in the thunder and the lightning. So I start out with why I called originally, that no mention has been made of Antonio Meucci, who was the man that actually invented the telephone, but the patent office finally kicked in and then acknowledged that instead of Marconi. It was Antonio Meucci, M-E-U-C-H-I.
Sure. R-P-I. Yes.
And there's a society in New York, and they're very adamant about their, you know, they're insisting on him getting the credit. So I just wanted to point that out. Being an Italian, of course, I'd have to point that out.
So you want to poo-poo on Alexander Graham Bell?
Well, it has to be because Meucci was the first guy there. Now, the second thing is,
sure.
You said something absolutely amazing, whether you or the person you had, your guest, another person, you said something about the sun. D.H. Lawrence said, and I have been carrying this with me since teenage, he said that the sun gets its energy from us.
Yes. Well, I want to say this really quick, Giovanni, that, yes, I've talked about it on this show, but I've had a couple of other guests over the last month or two, not only on Coast, but my show, Fade to Black, where we have talked about that exact subject. And it's just strange to me how many callers want to call up and discuss this. I find it fascinating.
Fascinating, right. Well, D.H. Lawrence said it in one of his works, and I picked up on it, and I carried it with me, sort of like just putting it on a back burner. Well, thanks for pointing it out tonight. The other thing was altered states of information that you have been hinting about with Tesla. And don't forget, altered states, of course, is not acknowledged as a positive way to go, especially for Christians. But St. Paul, this is what everybody must remember. He said, we have a battle not with the flesh, but with the powers and the principalities. That means there's another dimension. And that same dimension is probably what Tesla tapped into, that other state. And in that other state, which people refer to as a spiritual state, you have to be careful, is what St. Paul was telling us. You have to be careful because you don't know who you're aligning yourself up with, you know, like the Ouija board. You don't know who's coming in on the Ouija board. And Hitler, for example, was aligned to extra-dimensional beings. He used to sweat and go into trances. And so there's an example of maybe he was getting his energy and his information from the wrong guys. There's the right guys and the wrong guys.
Right.
Now, two other very, 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 very important things. The pyramids are now being, of course, you have to measure the pyramids in other places, especially where Tesla's from, in Bosnia, in that area. They found pyramids that make the Egyptian pyramids look elementary. Did you know that? I guess you did.
Yes.
But now, and they're not talking about it because they don't want to take away the glow and the glitter of the Egyptian pyramids. So there's more, and then there's the pyramids under the water near Japan. So there's something going on there about what Michael Tellinger was talking about, sound. He said that sound has a lot to do with the construction of the pyramids. So he was talking about Adam's calendar in South Africa, where the civilization, would you believe, is noted to be 250,000 years of age. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about that. It would wipe out all history and all consideration of history. 250,000 years. That's a lot of time. So I talked to Tellinger, and I said, I'm Sardinian from, you know, the island of Sardinia. I'm Italian. And I said, we have nuraghi there, these towers. And I said, and when I first visited them, I felt an energy. And he says, yeah, you're right. I visited them too. And he said, well, that energy was used to put the stones in place, which are megalithic. I mean, they're so incredible. The stones are so incredible, no human being could lift them up. And it was originally 200,000 towers. Now I think they're down to about 10,000 towers in Sardinia. They're called nuraghis. And they give off energy. And that's, these towers are all over the island, and they were emitting energy for whatever purpose. This is like, who knows, antediluvian. These were civilizations that haven't even figured out who they were yet. You know, so the same energy there is the energy that was being utilized in the pyramids. And that's what Tellinger agreed with me on, Michael, the great Michael Tellinger. Last but not least, the Vatican met with Zacharias Sitchin. And he asked them quite a few questions, but five came out in the book. And one of his questions was, do you believe, this is somebody from the Vatican, do you believe, does the church acknowledge extraterrestrial life? And the guy said, I think it was Balducci, he said, yes. He says, is there more life on other planets? Yes. Here's the question that blew me away.
Well, we've got about 10 seconds, quickly.
Are we seeded by another race? And the Vatican said yes.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And Giovanni, thank you for the phone call. Very, very cool. And I'm going to say this. 250,000 years or any of that that would rewrite history with the pyramids. Look at Göbekli Tepe now. The Bosnian pyramid. Any of that is going to cause everything that we know to be wrong. Now, is somebody going to step up and actually start to admit to this and change every textbook and every college program and high school program in the world? I doubt it. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your phone calls next. It has been great hanging out with all of you this weekend. And I want to invite everybody over to my show, Fade to Black. Just right there at the Coast website, click on my name. The website is there. Just go and see jimmychurchradio.com. Check out who we have on the show this week. And if you dig this, then you'll dig Fade to Black. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm going to go and get to this commercial break because the sooner I do that, the sooner I can come back and get to your phone calls. Old school. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast. If you're on hold, you stay right there. I'm going to try to get to everybody right now. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Let's go to Janice in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome to Coast, Janice.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Miss Latesta.
Well done. Well played.
Okay. My question is, you think the birthday of Nikola had anything to do, I mean his ability to produce the things he did had anything to do with his birthday, astrologically or compared to anyone else, like
Janice, I understand the question, but I'm not a numerologist, but I'm going to throw that back at you. Do you think his birth date and with numerology had anything to do with his genius?
I don't think so, but I was thinking more on the lines of
astrology.
Yeah, astrology, and compared to other inventors, like, I swear I could remember this guy's name, but I can't.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. Just check me out later on this week, and I will find out. I'll talk to my astrologer friends, and I'll mention it on my show, and I'll post it on Facebook. How's that? Is that a deal?
That's a deal. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Have a great rest of your weekend. It's Sunday night, Monday morning for everybody else. Thank you so much for the phone call. Let's go to Steve. Steve in Houston, Texas. Welcome to Coast.
Well, good morning, Coast to Coast. Hey, my question is, when I first found out about Nikola Tesla, and y'all might have mentioned this because I'm kind of at work, you might have touched on this in the past during the show, but I was kind of following a rabbit trail when I was looking into the HARP system and earthquakes.
Right.
You made a story. I read a story about how Nikola Tesla had created some kind of earthquake. I believe it was in New York City along one block.
Right.
And a policeman had to come in and tell him to turn off his machine. Apparently he was dialed into the same frequency as the earth.
Yes, that's right. Well, I mean, I've heard the same story. I can't confirm it, but yes, I've heard the same story.
Oh, okay. So, and that speaker, did he go in on any detail on that, or is it's just a rumor?
No, we didn't touch upon HARP and Tesla technology, but there again, as far as the suppressed knowledge / conspiracy alternative history world that is out there, they have connected the dots on that, and I wouldn't be surprised that if that there isn't a direct connection to what Tesla was doing in the atmosphere and HARP technology today. And thank you for the phone call, Steve. Let's go to Jim in Marysville, Washington, on the first time callers line.
Hello?
Yeah, Jim, you're up.
Yeah, that's Marysville, Washington. But happy birthday, Tesla. But I've been on a kidney machine for about 42 years, and I'm just wondering if Tesla was interested in anything related to healthcare, using maybe sound frequency or whatever. I'll just take my answer off the air.
Hey, thank you for the phone call, Jim. The one thing about Tesla, and we did talk about that tonight, was he was very much focused on health and using a lot of his technologies for medical science, and certainly his studies into X-rays. I mean, today, if it wasn't for what he did, I'm not so sure if the practical applications behind MRIs and so forth, let alone X-rays, would be where we have it today. And I think we owe a lot to Tesla in those areas. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Jack in Brownsburg, Indiana. Jack, welcome to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Jack, how are you?
Oh, fantastic. I just listened to your show, and it's fantastic as ever. And happy birthday to Tesla. And he's one of my most favorite guys. And a long time ago, I studied all of his books and his research. And like what happened with him, something came up with me that he didn't have with him back then, was the idea of like photovoltaic and solar cells. So,
yes.
So kind of, it was a Tesla coil. And when he energized a Tesla coil, he was able to light up lamps, incandescent lamps from far off.
That's right.
And so my idea was for using, with his help, was having a Tesla coil. But what you do, instead of radiating photovoltaic solar cells out to the sun, you bring them back towards a gas, like an incandescent light, and you put that in with a solar cell and light those cells up. So you could basically have a box in your basement loaded up with solar cells and aimed up with a plasma gas and light that gas up and charge all those solar cells.
Yeah, so it would run in a complete circle. perpetual energy.
Exactly. And you could line it up for as long as you want. You could also light up one of those incandescent bulbs for a mile long, put the solar cells on the inside, and light that whole thing up too. And you could put those out in the deserts.
It sounds like you're cheating, though. Does you think it would actually work?
Well, I went up to get a patent pending, and by then I had grandkids and stuff. I've been so busy with them. I'm just waiting to retire so I can get back to working on the project. But I think it's something that would be fantastic, even if you could ionize the solar cells on a piece of glass and then have the plasma put right on top of the solar cells.
So you know what's funny about that is, you know, the patent office now, any kind of device like that that even hints at perpetual motion or free energy, they don't even read it.
And here's the nice thing about this is I don't think people need to go to the patent office anymore. I think all the people in the world need to get together and put our stuff out. I don't want it for money. That's the reason why I'm putting it out on the phone. And to allow everybody that's out there that if they did have money, want to like to start working on this.
Right.
It's also the same thing with like hydroponics. I won't go into that, but that's for the people who can't eat and the poor. That's something that's fantastic for them instead of all these farms that are underneath, you know, different things I won't bring up. But in the meantime, I think this is something I thought would be a fantastic gift to give people. It might even run cars.
Yeah, Jack, I think you're on to something, man. I think you're on to something. Hurry up and retire so you can get to this.
Hey, thanks, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
You have a great night, man. Thank you, Jack.
You too, buddy. All right, take care.
Really appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Michael out in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, good to talk to you, Jimmy. And outstanding interviews tonight. Absolutely outstanding. And I'll give you a marker on that. Your interview with Andrew Biagio.
Bishago. Like Chicago, but with a B.
Okay. Your interview with him was so more believable and strong than your last interview with him before this one.
Okay.
He comes through as a real presidential person in this interview tonight. So I want to commend you on that, but analyze that interview, figure out what it was you were doing, and I think it may lead to an innovation in Coast to Coast. You brought him in to a tangible issue, such as George Norrie has gotten involved with. He is actually interfacing with people in Washington to get the grid hardened. So if Jimmy Church does that and also brings innovation, for example, if you were to come on tomorrow or if one of your guests were to come on tomorrow during the news segment and just follow up on, you know, one of the hottest questions of the night that didn't get talked about, like Tim, your interview with Tim, he brought up Trump's father. Well, we want to hear the follow up on that.
Right. Listen, Michael, I appreciate that, and I think that you're right, and I will look into that. All right, fair enough.
Okay, that's good. But here's the other thing. I think you have the case for a lawsuit, both in the United States and through the United Nations, and maybe through the European Union, which people like Jay Sekulow, people like Nick Bagage, could get together with you to help you to put this together. What you're saying is that the withholding of free energy technology,
that's right,
is in reality a crime against humanity. Millions have died, so we can sue these corporations that have held this back, and any entities in government who have been doing that to humanity, we can sue them. We don't have to take them to criminal court. We can go into civil court and force these issues to the front, as I hope our good friend George Norrie will ultimately do in his effort to get the grid hardened. Lawsuit.
And Michael, I got to let you go because I've got a bunch of calls on hold here before the end of the show. But you bring up, you know, very good points and the suppression of free energy. And it is that knowledge there. And what are they withholding from us when so many people out there could benefit from it? I think you bring up a very good, very solid point. And I want to thank you for that. Let's go to William in Madison, Wisconsin. William, you're up next on Coast.
Thanks for taking my call. Very great show. It's interesting to hear how Morgan was richest man in U.S. in early 1900s. He funded and thus controlled Tesla and did not want cheap, free energy.
That's right.
Such as fluorescent lights, et cetera, for the people, because he, Morgan, could not make money on them.
That's right.
And therefore, moreover, Professor, you can find out that Morgan had murder on his hands because he killed some 10,000 workers in the copper and iron ore mining. Remember, Morgan controlled the copper industry, and he had these 10,000 shot or sent to Russia. Professor Kitty Lamb has written a nice article on this tragedy, and Morgan spearheaded this.
Well, William, before I let you go, say happy birthday to Nikola Tesla right now.
Happy birthday to Nikola Tesla and all the other good people who don't seek money only.
Thank you so much, William. And that was a real phone call. Let's go to Mike in Dallas, Texas. Mike, you're up next. 3, 2
Hello.
Oh, okay. Are you there? Oh, this is Linda. Hi, Linda. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. Well, I don't think I'm Mike.
Yeah, you don't sound like Mike.
No, today you never know.
Okay. You don't, do you?
I'm so happy to be on. I love Nikola Tesla. I loved his work. I've done so much research. Like, you know, this man was given incredible knowledge, just like Edward Leitzkulin in the 30s, who had the knowledge, you know, to raise tons of coral, which was a mechanism that he...
Unbelievable, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
And I do believe that Tesla was given the knowledge to give to the people, like Jack and this other man, not for the money, but as a gift. And as a gift because Tesla, like he even made a storm right in a room, but was given a gift to see how is mankind going to use it for the good or not. Because his signs are... He never was a rich man, in which he could have been. His number one, I think, his introduction was from Edison, who cheated him. He said, if you did this project within a year, he'd still give you $50,000. And he did it, and he says, oh, I'm just kidding. That's just business.
Right.
And so all this, you know, crookedness and dishonesty is on mankind. But Tesla carried on. And, I mean, he did feats that, you know, I mean, like Nick Begich did say, it was for the betterment to be used, you know, for our betterment, but it's not being. And I think we're going to pay a price for, misusing these gifts that were given to mankind. And it would have brought us in a different perspective and a different reality.
It sure would have, Linda. And I just want to hear you say happy birthday, Nikola, right now.
That. Happy birthday, Nicholas. We love you still.
Thank you so much, Linda, and have a great rest of your morning. Thank you so much. Now let's go to Mike in Dallas, Texas. Mike, really quick, welcome to Coast.
All right, Mr. Church. The point that I'm going to make here was that, okay, back in, I believe, the 30s, Nikola Tesla found the signals, and some people speculate that it was a Black Knight satellite, right?
That's right.
Okay, and I just ran across something, a prediction by Nostradamus, that has stated that mankind will discover a machine in space that was sent here by the Watchers.
That's right.
And I'm wondering, I'm curious as to if the Black Knight satellite is what Nostradamus talked about, and if finding that signal by Nikola Tesla impacted his work as far as his discoveries, his patents, and that kind of thing. And then I also wanted to know what you thought about all of that together. I mean, it's kind of trippy, don't you think, with the Watchers and the Black Knight satellite and everything?
Well, yes, Mike. And you know what? I'm just going to let you listen to my answer right now as we wind down. And I want to thank you for the phone call. The Black Knight satellite, there was a short movie that was put out. I'm not going to say who the company was that did it, about 6 months ago, on the Black Knight satellite. And one of the things that they had presented at the beginning of this short film was about Nikola Tesla detecting the Black Knight satellite, and that this was a fact. Now, I do think that Nikola was listening to something. Was it the Black Knight satellite? I don't know. Was it what Nostradamus predicted? I don't know. Was it the Watcher sending it here? I don't know. But where there's smoke, there's fire. And the Black Knight satellite, we are going to get to the bottom of this very, very soon. We have too many telescopes and other things out there that amateurs can now detect things with. And so I'm pretty excited about the future and what we're going to find out about the Black Knight satellite very soon. And I hope that Nikola is connected with that. And I'm going to say good night, Mike, and thank you for being the last call here on Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, it's been a great weekend. I want to thank everybody for allowing me to unplug from the machine with all of you. Yeah, we're going through a little dark period right now in the United States and around the world, but we're going to get through it. My pockets are always full of flowers. I want to thank Jeff for manning the boards tonight. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Lisa, Stephanie, Chris, George, Tommy, and of course, Sean and Lex for handling the web. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter @JChurchRadio. Everybody be safe. Go Beckley Tepe.